there had been, I think, 492 towns in Kansas. And I just want to offer a clarifying comment to a comment I made after he said that. I made the comment that with my current work, towns and churches are much more connected. And I said that it's likely that in all of those nearly 500 towns, there's at least one church. What was in my head that failed to come out of my mouth, which does happen, was that if there's a church there, there's believers meeting there, and the fact that there's almost, if we say one per town, and there's more than that, there's people meeting there together, and that just that thought of collectively worshiping with other believers who are doing the best they can is, and we just take that for the state of Kansas, it's awe-inspiring, and it's humbling as well. What I had in my notes was, I find that intimate and intense ways of describing that. Second comment is that Gary mentioned his devotional was inspired by the one I did on What is Man here a few weeks ago when we raced through the universe. And in like fashion, I will say that this one was inspired by his, because I realized that in that devotional, we only went through 6 days, the 6 days of creation. And there's obviously the seventh one. So I want to look at Sabbath, which is the seventh day. Not necessarily arguing about what, you know, is it Saturday, is it Sunday? That question is a bit irrelevant, especially when we consider the rhythm of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. And I would like to, Josh, is the slide working? I would like to ask the question, though, what does Sabbath mean to you? And I'm looking for a few answers, so we'll take a little time here. I'm looking for three or four answers. What does, when you think of Sabbath, specifically, when we use the word Sabbath this morning, I'm referring to Sabbath rest, the rest that's intended for today. But just think about the word itself. What springs to mind?
Seventh day.
Seventh day?
Day of rest.
Day of rest.
Day when I stop my striving.
I stop my striving.
Worship.
Worship. Yeah. Sorry, there's another one. Yes, that is an excellent distinction. The day that God blessed. A day for remembering. And we will get to a bunch to those later. I asked this question on Wednesday, and Wednesday night, kind of in the group I was in. And I really wish I had written that down, but it was more, and a subsequent question also came up, how do we distinguish between laziness or rest? Sorry, let me back up. So the word Sabbath stems from the Hebrew word Shabbat, and that's itself has the origins in the verb Shabbat, and it simply means to cease or to stop. Before we go further, I would like to have some readings from the congregation on scriptures that speak to rest, that speak to quietness, that speak to the calming of the soul. The first one is Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. Next scripture is Psalm 131, 2. Thank you. The next scripture is Psalm 37, 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Exodus 30, verse 15. There must have been some miscommunication there. It's the passage where God is speaking, in returning and rest, you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Next one, Exodus 32, 17. There again, must have been some miscommunication. I apologize. I have the work of righteousness will be peace. Let's try another one. Psalm 4:4.
Eric, I think it's Isaiah that you are one, that you're saying, and might have given.
Okay, that's, I'll take the blame on that one. Thank you for that, Dwight. Psalm 4:4. Thank you. Next one, 1 Kings 19, verses 12 and 13.
And after the earthquake, the fire, for the Lord is not in fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
Thank you. Next one is in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. And then Exodus 14, 13 and 14.
And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent."
I'm not proposing that if we hold still, God will take away my enemies or the obstacles in my life. But rather, I think there's something there that Scripture's hinting at, and that is when I move and act, I hinder God's ability to move and act on my behalf. And the last one, Exodus 31, 13. Thank you for that. Those are just some scriptures looking at some injunctions of rest, of waiting. And while maybe not completely applicable to Sabbath, I do think there are principles there we can pull from. What does Sabbath rest mean? It literally is in the definition, to rest. Isaiah 58:13 indicates it is also a delight to honor, excuse me, and remember the Sabbath. That's God speaking to the children of Israel. Sabbath is also a cessation from work. We have that principle of God and the further injunctions as well. It's also worship. We mentioned that. Additionally, it is more than just a definition of rest. It is built into the very ethos of the day itself, the idea of rest and waiting. It's also commanded remembrance. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. This is in the Ten Commandments given at Mount Sinai. God is saying, remember the Sabbath day. It's one of two commandments that does not begin with a thou shalt or thou shalt not. And it is also the only commandment we have that has the reason for it attached to it as well. We can talk about rest, we can talk about why it's necessary, we can talk about how we should go about sanctifying and honoring Sabbath, but we do need to admit there's some significant opposition against the idea of rest, against the idea of taking a day off to delight in God and in worship. I just have a few listed here. Some of the things that I think we face is in the American ethos and in our culture, one of the gods we face is accomplishment. We there's, especially for men, there's that thing of you are defined by what you do. And so there's that strive to just to achieve and to work for that accomplishment. Additionally, we have accumulation, that of capitalism. We are told that if you buy this, if you get this product or this car, your life is going to be better. That leads to a state of hurry and just internal striving. I say individualism as well. I think Sabbath is best practiced in community, as well as with family as well. Speed of life, or simply hurry. You ask somebody how they're doing, one of the answers you might get is, or how their life is going, almost guaranteed, something about busyness or hurriedness will come up in conversation with them. If God created Sabbath and rest, where does hustle and hurry originate? Carl Jung, which I don't think he was a Christian, but he recognized this, he said, "Hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil." Some strong words, and I think it's something to consider as we consider how do we incorporate Sabbath more into our lives and our practice. And then additionally, work-based identity. So kind of goes hand in hand with the first one of accomplishment, but frequently we can get wrapped up in what we do, and we can prioritize that over some other necessary soul care Sabbath practices. Again, just breaking this down further, what is Sabbath? Have a little bit of a contrast here, what it is and what it is not. Sabbath is not just a day off. We don't have Sunday just as a break from the work that we do. Rather, I think it acts more like a governor for life's pace. It's a forced slowdown, if you will, and it keeps us from simply, working all the time. It's easy to look at Sabbath as being restrictive, or that it's a requirement. It's commanded in Scripture, so we ought to do it or listen to it. But rather, I think if we think about it as being made for us, and we'll get to that in a moment, and we look at it as a reward, we start delighting in the gifts and in what Sabbath brings to us. Sometimes we might think it's just church, or it's just the time we have for church. Rather, I think it's more of a weekly rhythm. It happens once every 7 days, we come around to it, and it's a way for us to incorporate rest and to incorporate worship into our lives. It's an invitation to enter into delight. It is a gift to enjoy. We get to have Sabbath, not, it's Sunday again. Sabbath is not post-fall, and I think there's a difference there. Sabbath was instituted at the start of creation, and I think there's something holy and beautiful about that. Sabbath is not hustle culture. It is God created and ordained. And lastly, here's a term that I discovered this week as I was prepping for this. Sabbath is not bed rotting. Rather, it is soul building. Now, you might ask yourself the question, what is bed rotting? And I'm going to ask this to the 20 and under crowd. Do you know what that is? Has that crossed your social media airwaves? No. Okay, good. This is, like I said, a term I came across just this past week. It is a term that's becoming popular to describe self-care. The New Zealand Herald describes it as becoming one with your pillows. The goal is to lie in bed as long as possible and fully give in to any mental or physical fatigue you might be experiencing. We can discuss the nuances of that, but it is not fundamentally what Sabbath is about. Sabbath is about restoring our souls and allowing us to experience what God has in mind in the Sabbath principle. I'm offering these two as resources. In a devotional, I can't cover it all, but these two in particular have been instrumental in my wife and I's lives in becoming more intentional with Sabbath. The first one is The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and we have that in the library here. The second one is To Hell with the Hustle, and it feels like a strong title, and yet if we consider where Sabbath originates and what hustle can do for our souls, it's an apt title. So I invite you to explore those if you want to learn more kind of where we're coming from. So my goal is to reframe our idea of Sabbath around this idea. And this comes from Dan Allender in his book, Sabbath. The Sabbath is an invitation to enter into delight. The Sabbath, when experienced as God intended, is the best day of our lives. Without question or thought, it is the best day of the week. It is the day we anticipate on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and the day we remember on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Sabbath is a holy time where we feast, play, dance, sing, pray, laugh, tell stories, read, paint, walk, and watch creation in its fullness. Few people are willing to enter the Sabbath and sanctify it, because a full day of delight and joy is more than most people can bear in a lifetime, let alone in a week. It's an invitation to delight in that which brings your soul and body joy. Hikes in nature, swimming, counting stars, picnics by the river, catching crayfish or noodling catfish, ice cream sundaes and s'mores and patio fires, disc golf games where you don't keep score and you experiment with different plays. Yes, I'm talking to a certain crowd here. Video calls with family, slow meal times with friends, and more. What makes you come alive? Sabbath is a time to chase that and allow that to revel in God's goodness and allowing that to bring rejuvenation and rest to your soul. And the invitation comes from Jesus. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? "Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." The invitation to Sabbath is clear. It's there in Scripture. And as I observe life, it seems like true rest, Sabbath, has two teachers. The first is burnout. The second is the Good Shepherd. One leads to exhaustion, the other to still waters. And I think I know which one I prefer. We'd like to close with Psalm number 118, verse 1 and then 3 through 6.
Speak through the earth, wake, wake.